everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass in the control room, engineering and producing our program. It's Buckmaster for Thursday, August 26, 2021. Happy National Dog Day. Never really owned a dog. We've always been kind of cat people, but I love dogs. Tom, did you have a dog growing up?
Oh, sure.
You did?
A couple of them. So is that why they call this time of the year the dog days of summer?
Well, it might be. Yeah, August, the dog days of summer. And one quick weather note, Tom. Hurricane, soon to be Hurricane, I believe it's Nora, off the Mexico coast, headed for Baja, could give us some substantial rain early next week, which would push us toward that. We need a couple of inches to hit that wettest year on record in Tucson.
Well, if the forecast is right, we might do it. They're saying 40% chance, up to a 50% chance Monday and Tuesday. So
there you go. We are in our 11th year already here on the radio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Our radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, which also has a very impressive archive of shows dating back to our first show in early January in 2011. So it's almost becoming an historic document with that many shows. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With me in studio is Rex Scott, Democrat Supervisor representing District Number 1. Supervisor Scott, how are you?
Doing really well, Bill. Thanks again for this monthly opportunity to spend some time with you and your listeners.
This is now closing out 8 full months for you on the job. Has the job turned out to be pretty much what you thought, or not so?
I don't know that I can fully answer that question, because we took office at the height of the pandemic, and the county's response to the pandemic has definitely had an effect on everything that we've done since that time. There are starting to be more community events and live meetings that I'm part of, but the job is still very much constrained by the pandemic. So I don't know that I've gotten a full sense yet of what it's going to be like to be the District 1 supervisor, because this is a very unusual world that we've been operating in since we took office.
You haven't really had, I mean, if it was normal times, you'd be meeting with constituents. You really haven't had a chance to do that much one-on-one.
We're getting more opportunities to do that, both in the district and in the office, but they're certainly limited compared to what it would be like normally. For example, there are still community groups within our district that are choosing to have their meetings remotely instead of live.
You're a former educator. You spent, so how many years in education did you?
Total of 29.
29 years. You still keep contacts with local educators. You just come from a meeting with, I believe, the superintendent of the Marana School District. What is the sense you're getting, Rex Scott, among the educators, the superintendents, this whole issue over masks, where are we with that?
Well, where we are is that there are 9 major school districts within Pima County, public school districts. 6 of them have enacted mask mandates, and 3 of them have chosen not to do so. The county, at our last Board of Supervisors meeting, enacted a policy whereby we will provide logistical support to districts that are putting mask mandates in place, just like we provided logistical supports to the school districts and the other schools in the county throughout the pandemic. And we'll also provide them with expert legal witnesses should they be involved with any litigation brought by the state, because, as you know, Arizona is one of 9 states in the country where the state government has passed laws that have prohibited local mask mandates, and those districts are acting in defiance of that law, as they should, in the best interest of the public health and safety of their students, and the county is standing shoulder to shoulder with them in terms of providing them with the support that they need now and in the future if they face any litigation from the state.
If you were still in the classroom, would you be certainly much more comfortable in a mask environment, Rex Scott?
I would probably be a little bit more comfortable because I always worked at the secondary level, Bill, with middle and high school students, and most of those students are able to get vaccinated. The reason that the CDC has recommended masks has mostly been to protect students who are 12 and under who are still not yet eligible to be vaccinated. The need for those students and the adults who serve them to be protected is the main reason the CDC has recommended masks in K-12 settings. And what we've been hearing from around the county is that most of the infections in our schools have come, especially at the secondary level, have come through extracurricular activities. They haven't necessarily been classroom-based.
We're speaking with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. Our live line is open. If you would like to ask the supervisor a question, or if you have a comment, he would be happy to entertain the question and certainly listen to your comments, because one of the things that he ran on is transparency. And his office does a lot of constituent work.
We absolutely do. In fact, one of the things that was a big aha for me when I took office is that the focus of a campaign for county supervisor is on issues. But once you take office, you find that the preponderance of your work and the work of your staff is devoted to constituent service. People who call your office with concerns or problems or questions or needs, and you help them to get the support and assistance that they need from the county departments that work under us.
The city of Tucson went a different direction than Pima County when it comes to mandatory vaccinations for employees. What is the latest with Pima County employees as far as incentives for them to get the COVID-19 vaccine?
So bear in mind that this is another area where state government has said that local governments cannot have a mandate. The legislature and the governor enacted a law that takes effect at the end of September that says that local governments cannot have vaccine mandates. Obviously, the city has taken their position on this with their employees. What we have done so far in Pima County is tried to use incentives to get people to get our employees to get vaccinated. And we're trying to use more of a carrot than a stick approach. We are offering a one-time payment of $300 and 3 days of leave to anyone who gets vaccinated before October 1st. And the other thing that we are needing to look into is not only the concerns that have been raised by the representatives of our employee groups, because we need to work in partnership with them, coming up with a workable policy for getting all of our employees vaccinated. But we also need to find out the distinction, Bill, between people who are vaccine hesitant and people who are vaccine resistant. Because within the former group, I think there are a lot of issues and concerns that we need to be sensitive to as their employers as we work to get more of our workforce vaccinated. And that, of course, is the end goal.
All right, let's go to our live line right now. We have on the live line our friend Doug Martin, the former owner of KVOI and Good News Communications, now a successful public relations owner here in town. And Doug has a question for Supervisor Rex Scott. Doug, go ahead.
Well, Bill, thanks for that buildup, but, you are my supervisor, and I appreciate you. I think you've been the sensible voice on the supervisor's board, so appreciate that. Concerning the schools and with your background in education and all, I wonder if you have data on of the districts that are not requiring masks and those that are, if there's any distinction or differences between any, vaccine infections and things like that. Because, I mean, I believe in the vaccine. I've had it. My wife's had it. But I also know it's very controversial, and I'm thrilled that the kids are back in school. I have 8 grandkids in school, and they really missed it. But do we know anything yet? Is there any data that shows that the masks are more effective or not?
Doug, the last thing that we heard is that of the top 4 districts in terms of the number of cases. Two of them do not have mask mandates, and two of them do. But the other thing to point out is that before school even started, the CDC was strongly recommending that students and staff wear masks on, in any K-12 setting. So what we don't know is how much voluntary mask wearing there was. We do know that for the largest number of our schools, a lot of the infections have been related to extracurricular activities, some of which occurred before the school year started. And so I think that it's hard to nail that down because, again, we don't know how much voluntary mask wearing there was, and we don't know the direct effect of mask mandates in terms of when they were enacted in the various districts, because each district enacted them at different times. For example, Marana just enacted theirs last Friday, whereas TUSD put theirs in place prior to the start of the school year. So they've been all over the map with that. Our intent in supporting districts that want to do this is so that they can make the best decision for their students and staff based on local conditions. And that is the position of the Arizona School Board Association, is that they want each district to be able to make that decision based on their district's conditions. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, and I do understand it's still kind of in flux right now, but I know I have, you know, like I said, 8 grandkids in, and I think they've been wearing masks, and they all ended up getting the virus. Very mild case of it, you know, but they did get it. But it's like, it's hard to say how well kids function with these masks. I mean, I've seen them try to fiddle around with them. And
right.
I don't know. I know the thing's very, you know, it's very contagious, this new Delta variant. And I was just curious if they actually are working or not working, or, you know, so all I appreciate
they're,
my answer.
They're one of the mask wearing is only one mitigation strategy. And obviously, the most important mitigation strategy is getting as many people vaccinated as possible. So I think it's going to be very important when students who are 12 and under are able to get vaccinated.
All right, Doug, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, Doug Martin with us on the live line. Rex Scott, our interview with Supervisor Scott will continue. Want to talk about the latest with the RTA, and that's going to be coming up on Buckmaster 790-2040. If you have any questions or comments, join the conversation. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview, United States Representative Raul Grijalva will be with me here in studio. Rex Scott is with me in studio today, Pima County Supervisor, District 1. He is my supervisor because I am a resident of District 1. Supervisor Scott, the first Democrat who has been elected to the District 1 position since 1972.
Did I get it right?
Yes, sir. There we go. All right. You are representing Pima County on the Regional Transportation Authority. How many members now again on that board?
Nine-member board.
Recently, you proposed for the advisory committee. This is a group of people who have been meeting since 2018 to start to develop the next RTA plan for submission to the voters for approval. After all, the current plan is now 15 years old. That means we're now within 5 years of its sunsetting, its expiration. So I know you wanted to change the makeup, Rex Scott, of the Citizens Advisory Committee, the roster composition. What was the intent, and were you successful?
The intent, Bill, was to get the roster back up to its original complement of 35 members. We reappointed 23 members who, as you indicated, have been working for the last 3 years on putting forth a new RTA plan to put before the voters to replace the plan that expires in 2026. 12 of the original 35 people did not want to continue. So what I was proposing was a geographic distribution of the seats based on the population of the various jurisdictions. And I also wanted to ensure that three of our jurisdictions that aren't currently represented, the Pascua Yaqui Tribe and the Tohono O'odham Nation and the city of South Tucson, I wanted to make sure that they were represented. The exact proposal that I put forth to my colleagues certainly got the discussions started, but we have agreed as a group to continue that discussion at our September meeting so that we can get the Citizens Advisory Committee busy with their job, which is to develop a draft RTA Next plan to put before us so that we can approve it and that all of us can go to all of our constituents with pride and with confidence and say, you need to vote for this thing.
Tucson has approximately 52% of the Pima County population. So you believed that it was appropriate that they have a slight majority on this advisory board.
I did, yes. Tucson is the cultural and political hub of our region, and it was important that we make sure that they, along with the other jurisdictions, were represented proportionally on the CAC. But my colleagues and I want to talk about some other factors that will weigh on who are the new members of the CAC moving forward. And that's what we're going to be discussing at our next meeting, which is September 23rd.
For those who've been following this as we kind of evolve into the next step with the RTA, this weighted issue, Rex Scott, seems to be kind of the big elephant in the room.
And there's a distinction, Bill, between the Pima Association of Governments Regional Council, which is where the City of Tucson has proposed having a weighted vote, and the Regional Transportation Authority Board, where there is no weighted voting as a matter of state statute. The RTA is a taxing authority set up by the state, and it is set up along the lines of one vote per jurisdiction. There would have to be action by the legislature for there to be weighted voting with the RTA board.
That's a huge distinction.
That is not
often discussed. So going back to the Pima Association of Governments,
right,
known as PAG,
mm-hmm,
this is where City of Tucson could have a weighted voice.
They would like a weighted voice on both bodies, but as I said, it would take action of the legislature to do that on the RTA board. And mm-hmm, I believe that the one vote per jurisdiction on the PAG Regional Council has functioned very well for the half a century that the PAG Regional Council has been in existence. I think there are a lot of important issues and concerns that the City of Tucson has raised with regard to the needs of their constituents. But I don't think that this is the way of addressing it, because it would essentially give the city an edge in voting that is just not normally done on metropolitan planning organizations, especially in communities that have more than 500,000 residents.
So the City of Tucson has to be on board for this, for any renewal to pass. In other words, the people voting in the City of Tucson, just by its size alone, are very, very important to the upcoming vote, whenever that is.
No question about it.
So what are some of their concerns that you're hearing, Rex Scott?
The biggest concerns that we are hearing have been expressed to their representatives on the City Council through their Move Tucson program, which is much more complicated set of responses to get into in the brief time that we have, but essentially they want us to look at more than just roadway improvements and also look at mass transit and bicycling and pedestrian concerns. But an important point to make is that 62% of the money devoted to transit in the current RTA plan goes to the City of Tucson. Those are funds that they're reliant on to fund transit programs within the city right now. And if that money goes away in 5 years, then the City of Tucson and its transit programs are going to be in a very bad situation.
What is emerging, though, as far as a kind of a general feel? I've heard that some road maintenance has to be a very important part of a renewal. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that, as long as it is maintenance for projects that have been funded through the RTA.
In other words, projects that were done during the past 15 years.
Yes, or projects that are going to be done in the next 20 years.
Or whatever, but, 20 years.
But if it's a maintenance requirement for a jurisdiction, whether it be the county or any of the other jurisdictions, then those are our responsibilities. And they shouldn't be responsibilities that are funded through the RTA.
You had an op-ed in the paper in the Star: openness and compromise are required for the next RTA plan. I think everybody wants transparency on this, right?
No question about it. And the commitment that I have heard from all of my colleagues on the Regional Council and the RTA board is that we're moving forward with a spirit of compromise. and a willingness to take all everybody's point of view into consideration. That's especially an important mindset for me to maintain, Bill, because all of my colleagues and all of the people we represent are residents of Pima County. So I want to make sure that everybody's interests and concerns, the city of Tucson's, but all of the people who live in the other jurisdictions and the people who live in unincorporated Pima County, I want to make sure that all of their voices are given equal concern and respect.
And that is the challenge of regionalism.
It absolutely is.
It's really the bottom line on this thing.
It's regionalism over parochialism, no question about it.
Regionalism, you know, people are going to have to pull together for the betterment of making sure that our roadways are the way we want them.
Not only that, Bill, but the legislature gave the RTA permission, when we go to the voters again, to either ask for the renewal of the existing half cent or some additional revenue up to a full penny. And none of us have the capacity to generate that kind of revenue for transportation needs working separately. And that's something that I believe that all of my colleagues recognize.
Yeah, that's huge, because that is an item that still has to be determined. What exactly will the increment be?
Absolutely.
Will it be staying at a half cent, maybe 0.75 cents? Or up to a full penny. So
correct.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. There's a lot more to be discussed.
Oh, yeah. Rex Scott, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. We'll look forward to your meeting with us next month.
You bet, Bill. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
You're welcome. Coming up next, we have a distinguished guest. Not that Rex Scott isn't a distinguished guest, but a distinguished guest waiting in the wings. He is Colonel Jason Dickinson, who is the commander of the 162nd Maintenance Group for the Arizona Air National Guard. Lots of questions that we have about what exactly does the Air Guard do here in Tucson. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicine safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things. All of my roses are pretty much everything in the garden is from Green Things. And once you go and visit their 13-acre site, you'll see what I've been talking about here on the radio for so many years. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Once you are there, you will see pretty much everything you could possibly dream of for your garden. And while you're there, also visit Zocalo. That's where they have some beautiful merchandise from Mexico. Jan, one of the owners of Green Things, does some buying trips down to Mexico and brings back all sorts of beautiful things. So visit the shops at Zocalo Village when you're over at Green Things. Here are the couple of websites for you, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With me in studios, Colonel Jason Dickinson. The colonel is commander of the 162nd Maintenance Group of the Arizona Air National Guard. Colonel Dickinson, welcome to my program.
Thanks, Bill. It's great. Appreciate you having me on.
You know, this is a very sad day for those that wear the uniform or have ever worn the uniform. Anytime we have active duty people, in this case, the suicide attack today at the Kabul airport, costing the lives of 11 Marines and a Navy medic. This is such a sad time, and I know you're mourning with your brothers and sisters in arms.
Absolutely. You know, just a really tough situation for anybody that's in the military, I can tell you. Especially as a military commander, it's just your worst nightmare when you hear about the loss of life of military members. So, yes, tough day. I know the troops over there will press on and do the mission as they always do, but it certainly is going to be a tough one to get over.
And you have been active duty. You did 10 years.
Correct.
Active duty. You're an Air Force Academy graduate. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your active duty assignments and how you wound up in the Guard.
Sure. Yeah. So I actually am one of the few that grew up right here in Tucson. So
wow.
I grew up here, went to Canyon Del Oro High School, and then went on to the Air Force Academy, became an F-16 pilot out of there, and went over, did 10 years active duty. I was stationed at Osan Air Base in South Korea, and then spent some time at Hill Air Force Base up in Salt Lake City. So
you fly the F-16.
I do. Yep, I've been flying for about 25 years now.
Yeah.
So it's been a great experience.
Now, is that the aircraft that we see if we're out at the airport at TIA?
It is. Yes.
Is that the airport we see taking off? And these, especially like at sunset or something, it's so dramatic. You know, that flash coming on,
absolutely,
the fire coming out of the back. That's that particular
aircraft.
It is the
F-16. Yep, with the afterburner takeoffs we do sometimes out of the airport. Yes.
What is that like? That takeoff. With that kind of thrust.
It's a lot of fun.
I assume throws your body into the seat big
does,
time, right?
Yep. Pushes you back in the seat. Yeah. It's just a feeling you don't really get anywhere else, you know, that much power. They basically talk about the F-16 of you just being strapped to a rocket, essentially, is what it feels like.
Yeah. So you transitioned then over to the Guard. How did that work?
I did. So, like I said, I loved my time on active duty, but had the opportunity to come back to Tucson, to my hometown, and continue to serve in the Air National Guard. So transitioned to becoming a full-time member of the Air National Guard, and I've been doing that ever since. So really since 2004, I've been back here in Tucson.
So what is the difference between the Air Force active duty and what you and your colleagues do with the Arizona Air National Guard?
Yes. So a lot of people, one of the reasons I'm here is kind of get to keep the word out that We are in Tucson with as your representatives of the Air National Guard, and really we're what we like to call citizen airmen. So it's just a different way to serve than the active duty. Certainly we have Davis Monthan. Usually everybody knows about the, mm-hmm. the great work the active duty does. Mm-hmm. But the National Guard essentially developed out of the state militias mm-hmm. way back, you know, even right after the Revolutionary War, mm-hmm. the founding fathers is, you know, thought after their experience, maybe having a huge standing army is not the best way to keep
right.
the amount of military forces you need. So mm-hmm. Came up with the idea of having state militias. So mm-hmm. for the Arizona Air National Guard, certainly we can be called into federal service by the mm-hmm. president. But mm-hmm. when we're not serving in that capacity, we actually report to the governor of the mm-hmm. state of Arizona. Mm-hmm. And we're responsible for all the military training, keeping people up to speed in case we do need to be called to service.
Oh, every state has a National Guard. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. Does every state have an air component?
Yes. Every state has an air component, but not every state has a flying mission. Mm-hmm. You know, we're especially lucky in Arizona to have the F-16 mission that we have. One of the reasons we have the fighter mission here is obviously because of the weather, the great
right.
flying weather that
right.
we have, and then all the airspace that we have with the Goldwater Range Complex, mm-hmm. Essentially from Kitt Peak all the way to Yuma and south of Gila Bend. That's a huge chunk of military airspace that we can fly in and do all our training.
You know, we've heard of weekend warriors, but is it just a weekend deal? Or why don't we begin with what is your footprint in terms of personnel, where you're based? Give our listeners kind of an update on it, because I think a lot of people are in the dark about your mission.
Sure, and this is where I'd love to get the word out to people, because mm-hmm. we just think it's a great place to live in Tucson and work in Tucson and serve your country all at the same mm-hmm. time. So we are, as you said, part of essentially the Tucson Airport, TIA. We have about 90 acres on the north side of the airport where our base is. So a lot mm-hmm. of people think we're at Davis Monthan.
Yeah.
We have some components of our mission there, but the majority of our base is at TIA.
Mm.
We have about 1,800 people.
Really?
That,
that many work
yes.
out there?
Yes.
Wow.
And almost,
that's an economic driver in itself.
It is, absolutely. They just did a study. About $384 million is the annual impact to Tucson of the Air National Guard. So
go ahead now. You've got how many mission people are
yeah,
involved?
1,800, and then about 900 of those are full-time. So we essentially work every day of the week out there, and we do a F-16 training is our main mission, but we also have a very big RPA mission,
mm-hmm.
the remote piloted aircraft that mm-hmm. fly out of, we house that mission out of Davis Monthan.
Mm-hmm. So how many aircraft do you have?
We actually have 72 F-16s,
what?
Which again is an enormous amount. That's more than a lot
Where
of countries.
Where are they parked? I mean, I see some, you know, I see them when I'm at the commercial airport taking
yes.
off, but where are your aircraft?
Yeah, it's
parked?
Difficult to see where we're parked from
yeah.
the terminal, but if you ever drive down Valencia Road, there's some sunshades you'll see. We house all 72 of them right there on the north part of the ramp.
Really?
Yes.
And then they have access, obviously, to the airfield and at TIA and the runways there.
Yep. The air traffic controllers do a great job of sequencing us in right with the airline traffic.
Uh-huh.
We've been doing it for a long time. So
what's the maintenance now component?
So the maintenance, we are responsible for all the mechanics, electricians, fuels, people that take care of the ground equipment, anything that essentially maintains the aircraft. Just like you would have someone maintaining your car,
mm-hmm.
someone's got to maintain the engine, someone's got to
mm-hmm.
change the oil, someone's got to
mm-hmm.
change the tires, someone's got to launch and recover mm-hmm. the aircraft as they go
mm-hmm.
out. So
mm-hmm.
We have almost 800 airmen that are in the maintenance group
mm-hmm.
out there. So we kind of hit on it.
So
but
it's not just a bunch of pilots.
Oh, no. No. The pilots get the very fun part of the job, but
yeah.
all the work and everything yeah. that goes into it takes a ton of people.
I bet it requires a lot of work to maintain one of those
absolutely.
Those
yeah,
sophisticated aircraft.
Yeah, we have some of the best
the
mechanics.
The avionics packages alone, I mean, must be incredibly complicated and have upgrades constantly.
Absolutely.
On
we
the
have,
computers.
Yep, some of the best mechanics in the world. We have outstanding avionics troops, super smart young airmen that take care of all those components for us. So
what cool. what kind of job opportunities? What if someone's interested in joining up?
Yeah, so one of the things we had kind of hit on is we have both lots of different ways to serve. So as you mentioned before, a lot of times people just think of the part-time with the Air National Guard.
Yeah.
That's certainly one way to serve. We do a drill weekend every month, so airmen can serve 1 week in a month and then 2 weeks somewhere throughout the year to keep their currencies and everything up. And so that's one way to serve, is just as a part-time employee. You get some great benefits for money to go to school. A lot of our people that are part-time are doing it because they're in school trying to build their skills towards other things.
Do they need to go active duty? There needs to be an active duty component, or how does that work?
Absolutely not. We love having people. We even have a program where kids can join in their senior year of high school.
Really?
Yes. So or just coming right out of high school. You do have to have your high school degree. So once you get your degree, you can come straight in. And we can give you all the training and skills you need. That's one thing, you know, our lack of trades abilities gets talked about a lot. It's kind of getting lost in our country. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely one great way to do it. You know, we can, like I said, take in full-time mechanics, and we typically start guys north of $25 an hour and then moving rapidly above that with full military benefits as well.
Really?
If you come in full time. So it's,
now,
it's really a great place to work.
Are the pilots training there? Are they learning how to fly?
Yes. Yeah, so our F-16 training mission is, we're called the FTU, basically the fighter training unit. So we get students that have gone through pilot training, but they've never flown the F-16.
Mm-hmm.
And we do U.S. Students that we train, but we also train a ton of international students.
Do you really?
Yes. So
folks are coming from other countries to train.
All over the world. So any country we sell F-16s to, their pilots will come to us and we'll teach them how to fly.
Well, do you have, before you put them in the air, do they go through a simulator?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the first 3 weeks of training are almost all academics, and then they do a bunch of simulator training.
How good are the simulators?
They're amazing these days, and they keep getting better and better. Yeah, they certainly you don't have the G forces and everything that go with flying, but as far as the instrumentation and the avionics and all that, they're 100% accurate.
Because you actually have done a lot of work in the aircraft, so you would know when you get in the simulator, does it feel the same?
It does, absolutely. And a lot of our training, like our big large force exercises, maybe where you would have 8 aircraft going against 16 other aircraft, we do a lot of that in the simulator these days because of it's so expensive to put that many aircraft in the air. The simulators help us do a lot of that large force training.
All right, we've got more for Colonel Jason Dickinson. He is with the Arizona Air National Guard. He is the commander of the 162nd Maintenance Group, and he's got quite a footprint out at the Tucson International Airport. 1,800, was that?
1,800 people.
That was 1,800 people. All right, we'll take a break right here. More with the Colonel right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow we'll have Congressman Raul Grijalva with me in studio. Jim Nensel will join me as well from the Tucson Weekly. This portion of our program presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. I send so many of our listeners over to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. You know, it's only about a three-hour drive. Folks that I send over there say, Bill, gee, I had no idea. It's really pretty country, the Gila National Wilderness, lots to do, like hiking in the Gila, or just kind of kicking back and enjoying the scenery in a different environment than Tucson. Good starting place is Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. There you will find out about great places to stay and so many things to do. With me in studio are Jason Dickinson. He is Colonel of the Arizona Air National Guard and the commander of the 162nd Maintenance Group. And in his group, he's got like 1,800 people, airmen and airwomen. Do you say airwomen, Colonel, as well, or is it just pretty much everybody's an airman?
We just say everyone's an airman, yes.
And you've got about 1,800 airmen out at their facility at Tucson International Airport. My friend Tom Fairbanks was wondering, and it's a good question during the break, Tom, our engineer producer, what about the F-35? It has a footprint in Arizona.
It does. It's being flown out at Luke Air Force Base up in Phoenix. We actually do some training with them airspace-wise. We don't really see the F-35 coming to our base in the near future. We're kind of locked into the F-16 mission, the international training portion of that. But maybe long ways into the future, it could be a replacement for the F-16.
How did COVID impact your business?
Made it tough. Obviously, when it initially hit, we kind of to reduce our footprint on base, kind of split our force in half. We only had about half our people coming to work in person, but we were still able to turn a pretty good number of aircraft. We typically fly a 10 turn eight, so in the big squadron, so 10 aircraft take off in the morning, 8 take off in the afternoon. We went down to a 6 turn six, but we were still, we pretty much maintained our mission throughout the COVID.
Is there an emergency role for the Air National Guard?
There is, absolutely. So the National Guard, the governor did call a lot of our airmen into service for the COVID mission.
Mm-hmm.
They went to do, you know, contact tracing, man some phone banks. A lot of them worked in the food banks, getting food out to people that needed it. So, yeah, absolutely. We called in a lot of our part-time workers, called them up to duty to take to help with the disaster.
So you mentioned earlier in the interview about young people in high school can kind of focus toward a career with the Guard.
Yes.
What are the other age requirements? Perhaps someone's in a business right now and they're thinking, you know, I might want to get into this.
Yes.
So what is the protocol? What's the procedure?
Really, the best person to the people to talk to are recruiters. So if anybody's interested, you know, 520-295-7000 mm-hmm. will get you to the recruiting office. Mm-hmm. It's pretty obviously you've got to be able to pass the medical requirements to get into the service.
Yes.
But other
How
than
about
that,
age?
Like I said, I believe it is 39, but don't quote me on that.
Okay. So near 40, we'll say that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So we've taken people, like you said, that maybe didn't know exactly what they wanted to
do.
And then all of a sudden decide, you know what, I want to serve and got into it late. The Guard is a great opportunity.
And what is the commitment as far as time?
Typically, it's a 6-year commitment for your first enlistment. Mm-hmm. And then from there, if you want to keep going, obviously keep on trucking.
But you do basic training, I assume.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So really what will come out, they'll come to our base for kind of an orientation during our drill weekends to sort of get them ready. And then at some point they'll go to basic training. We try to tie it so whichever, what we call an AFSC, of Air Force Specialty Code, whichever specialty they're going to go into, they would go to basic training and then go into their tech school to get their training. And then they come back to us and put them to work.
What about benefits?
Yes.
Like healthcare and all that.
Yep, healthcare. We have, obviously, TRICARE is one of the main things that the military uses for their
So you're
healthcare.
Part of the VA system.
Exactly.
Okay.
Really almost just like the active duty
out
there when for our active members that are full time.
So you would have health benefits.
Yes, absolutely. Full health benefits and then a lot of great benefits to pay for school. The GI Bill and transition or tuition assistance.
I wanted to circle back to the pay because you were telling me during the break that there was special compensation when you were thinking you wanted to be competitive and you want to attract people. How were you able to do that?
Yeah, so we have kind of two statuses that people serve in full time. One is called Active Guard and Reserve, where you're essentially just on the same pay scale as our active duty and you're under that retirement system. We also have a lot of full-time workers that are GS employees. So they're under the civil service retirement program. And under that, we were able to get a special salary rate that made us very competitive in Tucson for the other trade opportunities that are around town. So we've been excited about that. And it's really helped us with our full-time in manning.
Now, before you went to the United States Air Force Academy, Colonel, did you have an interest as a kid in the military or what?
I did, but, you know, it's
funny.
Did
you always want to fly? I mean,
people always ask me that, and I have to tell the story that,
I had
to
ask it.
Growing up here in Tucson.
I've only got about a minute left. Okay, go ahead.
I was a huge basketball player. I came up during the Steve Kerr era, the 88 team was my dream team.
Yeah.
So, if I'm really honest about why I went to the Air Force Academy, it was because I wanted to play basketball there and had an opportunity to do that.
Did you play basketball?
I did, yes.
Wow.
So,
what position?
Point guard.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. But really, it worked out amazing once I got into the academy environment and got into the military. I really did want to fly, and it's been an amazing career.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. Colonel, for our listeners that want more information, what would you suggest?
Absolutely. Like I said, the phone number that I gave, 520-295-7000. We'll get you to the recruiting office. They've got all the info for you. We also have a Facebook page for the 162nd Wing.
162nd Wing.
Yes. So if you can look for the 162nd Wing on Facebook or Instagram.
Okay.
We'd love to have you out. Like I said, one of the great things is you're serving in your hometown. So you get to serve your country, but you may not be moving all over the country
there
like
you
do on active duty.
All right. Thank you very much, Colonel. A
pleasure. Thanks, Bill. Really appreciate it.
All right. That will wrap it up. On behalf of the Colonel and Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thanks for being with us. Tomorrow we've got Congressman Grijalva back in about 23 hours. Have a great day.